Hi, my name is Juice. All right, not really. But for the purposes of this podcast, that's what I'm called. For 5 years, I wrote a blog called Tales from the Library, a chronicle of the nutty crap that happened to me while working in a small-town Appalachian library. This podcast is an ongoing adaptation of my favorite stories from that blog. Welcome to Tales from the Library Cast. Dateline, Wednesday, December 17th, 2003. The greatest and best blog entry in the world. Tribute. Today was a day most library bloggers would dread. It was almost entirely uneventful. Some might even say boring. Our only rogue patron of the day was Mr. B. Natural, the grumpiest old man in all the world. He came in, accompanied by his dog Bubba, and proceeded to behave himself admirably. He didn't even try to sneak a cup of coffee back to the computer hall, which is pretty much daily standard procedure from him, despite the fact that we've told him to stop trying to do that 12,000 times. I guess that means that's our daily standard procedure. No, the worst thing Mr. B. Natural did today was turn the computer sign-in clipboard upside down before signing his name. This is the other bit of daily standard procedure for Mr. B. Natural, who seems to be operating under the misconception that it annoys us when he does this. Far from it. It actually makes it easier for us to read his name from the other side of the counter, and therefore know when it's time to ask him to get off. As a joke, we once printed up a special sign-in sheet that was exactly the same right side up as upside down. Unfortunately, Mr. B. Natural failed to notice it. Which I guess means the joke was on us. Dateline, Wednesday, May 5th, 2004. Mr. B. Natural's coffee breaks. As I've mentioned before, our patron Mr. B. Natural, the grumpiest old man in all the world, has actually become considerably less grumpy lately. He's damn near close to losing his title to Mr. Smiley, or maybe even a dark horse candidate yet to be determined. He's barely tried to irritate the hell out of anyone in months, and for a guy whose single reason for living was to irritate the hell out of people, that's saying something. Sure, he still comes in and signs his name upside down on the computer sign-in sheet, in the mistaken belief that it irritates us, but these days it's mostly out of habit than actual malice. Since Mr. B. Natural acquired his dog Bubba, which is a fantastically well-behaved, sweet animal that we genuinely love getting visits from, he's mellowed out quite a bit. Well, mostly. Today, one of his remaining genuinely irritating habits came back to bite him in the ass. Mr. B. Natural, you see, is fond of crossword puzzles. Mr. B. Natural is also fond of coffee. Mr. B. Natural is fond of doing his crossword puzzles while drinking his coffee. Trouble is, he does his crossword puzzles on our internet access computers, and we don't allow coffee, or any other beverage for that matter, in proximity to those computers, nor even beyond the front room of the library at all. This matters not to Mr. B. Natural. In fact, he likes it that way, because if he can sneak his coffee in and actually manage to get it back to the computers without being caught, he's therefore pulled one over on us, and has thus, in his mind, won the day. If we catch him with it, though, we're naturally irritated that he has tried to sneak his coffee past us despite the 12,000 times we've told him not to. His seed of irritation thusly sown, he has again won the day. It's been a while, though, since any of us have caught him trying it. So today, Mr. B. Natural came in with Bubba and went up to the desk to sign in upside down. I didn't notice any real sneaky behavior out of him until I came around the desk to go log in a computer for him, at which point Mr. B. leaned over and picked something up from the step stool by the desk. Then he quickly tried to turn his back to me with the mystery object in front of him. Now, I'm gonna have to admit that I was not being particularly observant that day, so I didn't even notice this, but later received the full report from Mrs. J., who had a much better view from her position in front of the desk. When Mr. B. Natural turned, though, he got tangled up in Bubba's leash, started to lose his balance, and in order to remain upright, had to jettison the mystery object, which was a brimming full travel mug of coffee. There are, I've found, a lot of truly shitty travel mugs on the market these days. I know, I own quite a few of them. So did Mr. B Natural. His shitty, ostensibly spill-proof mug hit our hardwood floors, burst open with no argument whatsoever, and sprayed its contents over a wide section of the floor. "Oh, whoopsie," I said, coming up behind him, grinning like a madman at his failed treachery. On my way to get the mop bucket, my boss, Mrs. A., saw me snickering. "What is it?" she said. "Just go up front and see," I told her. Mrs. A. dashed up front, where she got to see Mr. B. Natural in his sheepish, weakened, and most definitely guilty condition. There was no hiding this. Now not only was he caught, he didn't even have any coffee to drink later. We all then had to comfort and pet poor Bubba, who somehow thought he was at fault for the spill and had sat down on the floor to sulk. So, let's tally this up, shall we? No smuggled coffee for Mr. B. Natural, and he was certainly far more irritated by the whole matter than we were. Yeah, I'd say the day's win was ours. Dateline, Friday, September 10th, 2004. Poor Bubba. I went to work at 1 today, and Mrs. C. told me to go and read the sign on the front door. The sign said the library would be closing at 5. Woohoo! I get to go home early! And this was good, because the wife was coming home from her rotation in Clarksburg for the weekend, and I'd been a bit concerned as to how quickly I could come up with supper after getting off at 7. As to why we were closing early, though, Mrs. C. enlightened me. It seems we have fleas. That's right, fleas. Mrs. J. found several of the little buggers attempting to bite her while she was shelving today. Suddenly, almost everyone was finding little bumps on their ankles that they had been at a loss to explain until that moment. So the plan was for us to close early and bug-bomb the hell out of them. Why exactly we needed to close early in order to bug-bomb them, I'm not sure. Seems just as simple to bug-bomb them after 7 as it would be after 5, but I certainly kept my mouth shut on this point. Mrs. A. is still technically on vacation this week, but she's taking her vacation at home. She phoned in to give us some new policy regarding the fleas. To keep fleas from coming back after they've been bombed, we are now outlawing all animals other than service animals in the library. We've been a very dog-friendly place in the past, allowing them to run free in the library. However, during most weeks, the dog population pretty much amounts to Mr. B. Natural's pooch Bubba. It will be sad to have a library with no Bubba, but what are you gonna do? Can't have fleas infesting the joint either. Mrs. C. was the one to break the news to Mr. B. Natural when he and Bubba came in for their mid-morning computer crossword puzzle.
"What?"
Mr. B. Natural said. He's supposedly hard of hearing, but I'm pretty sure it's a selective condition. "I said you can't bring Bubba in anymore. We're having trouble with fleas."
"He shouldn't have any fleas. I gave him the flea treatment and washed him. No, Bubba didn't have any fleas,"
Mr. B said. Of course, while he was saying this, Bubba was sitting on the floor beside him, violently scratching at a flea. "We're not saying Bubba brought the fleas in," Mrs. C told him. "Who is she kidding? That's exactly what we're saying. We're just saying that we have fleas, and we don't want any more, and you don't want them getting on Bubba either." After Mrs. C. related the above story, I said, "You do realize, of course, Bubba will now become the new smuggled cup of coffee for him, right? He'll start trying to sneak that dog in his coat, just like he did the coffee." Hours later in the day, the phone rang, and a gruff voice asked to speak to Mrs. A. "I'm sorry, but she's on vacation this week. Can I take a message?" Mr. B. Natural's familiar grumbling commenced for a few seconds before resolving into the phrase,
"When will she be back?"
I told Mr. B. Natural that she would be in on Monday. Apparently, he's none too happy about his dog being banned. I'm really not sure why, other than it's an opportunity for him to get all grumpy about something. No other library in the county allows him to bring the dog in, so I don't see what the big deal is now that we won't. Of course, it's not like he hasn't tried other places. Mrs. H. Beep. Town D's. Beep. One of Town D's librarians, Mrs. H., said that Mr. B-Natural tried to bring Bubba into her library one day, until the head librarian there saw the dog and said, "Nope, out, he can't come in." Mr. B-Natural paused in the door and then shouted, "Hateful old woman!" Then he took Bubba back to his car and left. Now that's the old Mr. B-Natural we all knew and loathed. Dateline, Sunday, September 12th, 2004. Mr. B missing? Kind of an odd Sunday shift, as it was utterly free of Mr. B Natural. He's usually the first patron of the day and is almost always waiting at the door when I drive up. Not so today. I'm guessing he's still pissed off about his dog being banned from the library, so he's staying away in protest. Normally, my response to such a protest would be, "And this is a bad thing? How?" But I do feel a bit sorry for him in this case. As my wife pointed out, while Mr. B Natural is indeed the grumpiest old man in all the world, he's also a fairly lonely guy. Not surprising, what with his being so grumpy and all. However, over the past few months, we've seen him mellow to an impressive degree, due entirely to the presence of Bubba the dog. Bubba is kind of Mr. B's ambassador to the world, you see. Everyone loves Bubba, who's a genuinely sweet and happy dog. And all of the positive attention directed at Bubba is therefore vicariously shared by Mr. B Natural. With Bubba by his side, people actually smile at Mr. B Natural and are happy to have him around. Without Bubba, not so much. Dateline, Friday, December 24th, 2004. The Return of the Cranky King. Mr. B Natural, grumpiest old man in all the world, and long-lost missing rogue since we banned his dog Bubba for infesting our library with fleas this past summer, came in Wednesday at around 5:30. Wow, was he cranky! I've not seen him that fired up in a long time. He came in, sans dog, just behind two burly gentlemen wearing ball caps that advertised heavy construction equipment. They also had a considerable amount of dried mud on their feet, much of which they left on our runner carpet. The mud-cake gentleman in question wished to use computers. Mr. B Natural, who we rarely saw after five back when we regularly saw him, also wanted one. The cranky part came next. Now, I'll have to take his word for this, as I did not smell the smell myself. But according to Mr. B Natural, the older of the two muddy gentlemen was something of a farter, and had let fly with a foul cloud just prior to entering the building. Again, I never smelled it. In fact, the only thing I could smell was the delicious yet lingering aroma of the club salad that I had just eaten. I'm not convinced this isn't what Mr. B Natural was smelling as well, which might say something about my choice in salads. Mr. B Natural didn't tell me about all this right away, though. Instead, he fled the front room of the library back to the computer hall, presumably to escape the gas. He only began telling me about his farter theory after I had gone back to log on computers for the farter in question, who, I should mention, was standing right there beside me the whole time.
"Don't you smell that?"
Mr. B Natural said, eyeing the computers as I logged them on.
"Gotta be that old man."
The old man, for his part, didn't seem to take any offense or even notice, but it was wildly uncomfortable for me all the same. Mr. B Natural then began to sit down at a computer, but I pointed out to him that he had still not signed up on the clipboard up front and needed to do so before he could have one of his own. Loudly cursing about the horrible farty stench, which I still couldn't detect, and the sorts of old men who are full of such smells, Mr. B then accompanied me back to the circ desk. He signed in upside down, as in accordance with tradition, then returned to the computer hall. Within 30 seconds, he was back at the desk, practically gasping for air. He began yet another curse-filled rant on his favorite new topic of gassy old men who can stink up entire buildings. And this from a guy who never uttered a single word of complaint when seated directly beside Mr. Stanky, low those many months ago. "Are you sure it's not my salad?" I said, pointing to the open salad container.
"Hell no, it's not a salad!"
Mr. B angrily fired back.
"Makes me want to puke! I'm gonna have to take my teeth out and wash them before I can do anything else!"
He said this, I might add, while stuffing multiple cookies from our holiday open house goodies table into his mouth. The stench had apparently not dampened his appetite.
"Can't I just use one of those?"
he said, indicating our card catalog computer and Mrs. C's computer. "Nope, patrons can't use those for the internet."
"Shit!"
Eventually, Mr. B-Natural stopped cursing quite so much and calmed down. I suppose he was waiting for the computer hall to air out before going back there, but that left me standing there staring at him as he waited. "So," I began, looking for some kind of small talk, "how's Bubba doing?"
"Oh, he's pretty good. Had to leave him at home to come down here, 'cause Mrs. A won't let him in anymore."
"Well, I miss Bubba," I offered. "And I do. I'd rather have Bubba in than Mr. B-Natural."
"It's a goddamn shame, too. That dog didn't have no fleas," Mr. B said. "He sleeps in the same bed as I do, and I don't have fleas."
He rambled on a bit more in this vein, explaining that he uses Hart's flea killer medicine on Bubba, and how it's the kind you're supposed to use once every 3 months, but Mr. B-Natural uses it on his dog once a month, just to make sure.
"Then some woman up and gets flea bit, and they all blame Bubba. Shit!"
Finally, Mr. B-Natural left me alone and returned to the computer hall. I set about trying to write down as much of the encounter as I could. I didn't get very far, though, because he was back barely 3 minutes later.
"That internet has to be the most goddamn frustrating thing in my whole life," he said. "I can't make heads or tails on how to send this email to somebody. Can you help me send an email?"
Oh, hell, I thought. The last thing I wanted to do was have to hold him by the hand through the Hotmail sign-up process. It's bad enough with pleasant patrons. Still, there was a chance I might not have to. "Do you already have an email account?" I asked.
"Yeah, I got email with Yahoo, but I hit compose and it's not working and it's the damnedest thing, Jesus Christ!"
I walked around the desk and back to the computer hall, where I found a blank Yahoo email compose window on his screen.
"That wasn't there before," he said. "It had to have come up while I was gone."
"Well, you can just type in their email address on that blank there and then write the email," I said. "You do know their email address, right?"
"Yeah, I have to check something on it first," he said.
I left him to it. Occasionally, I had cause to go back and shelve some books on tape or log someone else onto a computer, and every time I would hear him grumbling and adding the occasional, "Jesus Christ!" Mr. B-Natural's half hour ended, then another 10 minutes crawled by. I left him alone. He was not, however, going to extend the same courtesy to me.
"This has got to be the most frustrating damn thing in my whole life,"
he repeated on his way back to the front desk to get me. I followed him back to his computer to see what was wrong. There on his screen was, of all things, Martha Stewart's homepage. As you might have heard, Martha is currently residing in our fair state as a guest of the Alderson Women's Prison. Mr. B-Natural next showed me a news article several browser screens back that was about sentencing reform, which also mentioned Martha and her new digs and gave the address for her homepage. Mr. B-Natural wanted to write an email to Martha, but every time he clicked the Email Martha button from her homepage, it refused to, quote, "do any goddamn thing," unquote. I could see that this was because the Email Martha button was actually a mail-to link with her email address in it. Whenever he pressed the button, the computer tried to load Outlook Express in order to plug the address in. Trouble is, we don't have Outlook Express on this particular machine, so Windows just opened up the executable search to try to find a suitable replacement. About that time, Mr. B-Natural started a new rant against technology, the likes of which the Unabomber would have been proud to have penned. While he was busy with all that, I did a copy shortcut on the email link button and then told him to open up his Yahoo Mail page again. When he finally got a compose window to open, which, in his defense, did take an irritatingly long time to come up, I pasted Martha's address into the two blank. Mr. B-Natural was astounded.
"How the hell'd you do that?"
I showed him how the hell I'd done that.
"Well, I'll be," he said.
After that, Mr. B-Natural whiled away another half hour typing his email to Martha Stewart. When he had finished and sent it, he came back up to the circulation desk and thanked me for helping him. He seemed genuinely pleased about it. Before he left, he said,
"You know, I could have said the same thing to a person face to face, and it would have taken less than 30 seconds.
I just smiled and watched him go. I would truly love to know what he wrote to her. Dateline, Monday, February 21st, 2005. Bees, fleas. Mr. B Natural was in Thursday. He's been back intermittently over the past couple of weeks, but it seems like he's probably going to be a regular again. On his way out, he couldn't resist stopping by the circulation desk to take a quick verbal jab at Mrs. A for banning his dog Bubba for spreading fleas in the library. He told her that Bubba misses us, and that as he drove up to park at the library with his dog in the car, Bubba became excited that he was about to go in again, until Mr. B told him, "Nope, you gotta stay. Mrs. A has fleas." Mrs. A laughed heartily at this, then told Mr. B Natural, "We'd love to see Bubba, too. He can come up to the front step and we'll all come out and pet him. But he still can't come in."
"That dog didn't have fleas," Mr. B Natural said.
"Well, think of it like this," Mrs. A said. "Not bringing him in kept him from getting them, because we certainly had them in here." Mr. B Natural grumbled a bit and then said,
"People can carry fleas, too."
After he said that, there was a long pause among the employees of the library. I'm almost certain that if there were a comic book version of that moment, there would have been a large collective thought balloon drawn above all of our heads with a picture of Mr. Stanky in the center. Dateline, Monday, August 27th, 2007. Mr. B Natural slakes his thirst for righteous vengeance with the library's blood. It's been a long time since we've had any trouble from Mr. B Natural. Mostly, he's been an ideal patron. He even came in recently and asked me if I would teach him how to save files to a CD-ROM using his new laptop. I showed him how, and he seemed quite friendly about it and far from his usual grumpiest old man in all the world self. Last week, he got far grumpier. Long-time readers will recall the saga of Mr. B Natural and his beloved dog Bubba. They might also recall the night-to-day transformation Mr. B Natural underwent after he first acquired Bubba and began bringing him into the library as his emissary to the world. They might also recall 3 years back when Bubba brought a plague of fleas into the library and was subsequently banned from setting paw in the building. At the time of the banning, Mr. B Natural protested that Bubba didn't have fleas, and then staged a walkout over the matter, refusing to set his own foot in our building. After a few months of this, though, he realized this was hardly punishing us, so he came back. Occasionally, if Mrs. A was around, he would drop comments about how Bubba sure does miss the library and how he still doesn't have any fleas. Mrs. A would only smile and tell him that we too miss Bubba, and that we would love for him to step out of Mr. B Natural's car and visit us on the doorstep sometime. Over the past year, though, other dogs have begun to visit us. One of our patrons, a lady by the name of Carrie, who is a frequent and very, very generous donor, began bringing her dog into the library. Granted, she was only there with the dog to briefly visit us or to drop off a check, and never to hang around. But there were several near misses with Mr. B Natural almost seeing the pooch. Have I mentioned that Carrie is a massive donor? Oh, she's a massive donor, all right. In fact, she actually made a huge donation in her dog's name, an event which prompted us to joke that when Bubba came up with anything approaching that amount, he could come back too. So we were understandably a little hesitant to forbid Carrie to bring in her dog. Next up, a member of our board of directors, Mrs. M, recently bought a puppy, which she has insisted on bringing into the building despite the fact that she knows full well that animals are not allowed and that Mr. B Natural will rain shit down on our heads were he to ever see it. And I personally don't like Mrs. M's dog very much because it bit me. But again, what are you gonna do? Then Mr. B Natural did see Mrs. M's dog. Saw it on several occasions, even. In fact, for about a week running, Mr. B Natural seemed to have developed the mutant ability to arrive at the library only when Mrs. M was in-house with her dog. And, as before, he began dropping comments to Mrs. A about how the puppy would make such a wonderful playmate for dear Bubba were he allowed to bring Bubba back into the library. Mr. B-Natural never got mad or even raised that big of a stink, but he was understandably unhappy about it. Mrs. A tried to explain things to him by saying that the other dog was only passing through on business and was not hanging around for hours at a time using the computers like Bubba used to. But Mr. B-Natural's reaction to this was to simply turn and walk out. Mrs. A thought about this situation and decided that if she couldn't ban the dogs of donors and board members, she couldn't very well ban Bubba too. It was time to stop playing favorites. She then announced to Mrs. C that we would need to change our policy to allow visits from dogs, provided they remained on the tiled areas just inside the front doors. They would break the good news together to Mr. B-Natural when he next visited. When I came in for work this past Friday, I saw a sign taped to the glass of our front door that read, Service Animals Only. I wondered what the story behind it was, and soon the alphabet squad of Mrs. A, B, and C told me. Mrs. A explained her decision to rescind Bubba's ban. However, before she could alert Mr. B-Natural to it, he had phoned Mr. Hooter, the president of our board of directors, to raise holy hell about the veritable zoo we were letting run free in the library. He insisted that if Bubba was banned, all other animals should be banned as well, save for service animals, as is our stated policy. Furthermore, Mr. B-Natural wanted signs put up to this effect and wanted the policy enforced for all parties. Mr. Hooter was in agreement. I can't blame him, I told Mrs. A upon the conclusion of this tale. I would have done exactly the same thing if I was in his position. Granted, there's the irony that if he'd kept his trap shut for another day or so, he would have finally gotten his way and been able to bring Bubba back. But I completely see his perspective on the issue. It isn't fair to let other people bring their dogs in and not him. And since he'd already complained to Mrs. A on any number of occasions, he felt he had no other course. Mrs. A said she saw his point too, but would have handled things differently had she been in his shoes. So I guess we won't be seeing Mr. B-Natural for a few more months, I said. Oh no, he's been in 3 or 4 times since Wednesday, Mrs. B said. He keeps checking to make sure we have the sign up, Mrs. C added. And an hour or two later, Mr. B-Natural did arrive for some computing time. I made it a point to smile at him when he came in, hopefully communicating that I bear him no ill will and am, for once, on his side. The commentary bit. Over the course of my time at the library, I grudgingly came to have some respect for Mr. B-Natural. Not only over the whole Bubba situation, but just for the man in general. He's definitely the kind of guy that almost has to grow on you. But I think by the end of my days at the library, he and I were on a pretty positive basis. In fact, I'd say by the end of the blog, I was of the unspoken opinion, at least, that he wasn't even the grumpiest old man in town, let alone the world. Hell, Mr. Smiley, Mr. Crab, and the as-yet-unpodcasted-about fourth runner-up, Mr. Dent, were way more grumpy than Mr. B-Natural. More than nearly any other patron in the Rogues Gallery, though, I wish I'd chosen a different pseudonym for him on the blog. For those of you who are fans of Mystery Science Theater 3000, you might remember the short film they spoofed called Mr. B-Natural. Its title character was a sprightly imp who cheerfully educated a group of kids about musical instruments, disappearing and reappearing and scaring everyone. Only the Mr. B-Natural character, in true Broadway Peter Pan Mary Martin fashion, was portrayed by a girl. This, of course, has nothing whatsoever to do with the real man that I called Mr. B-Natural. He was neither a girl nor sprightly. He was the opposite of both, I guess. Which kind of gives me irony cred for the name choice, but it's still a bit of a stretch. Had I known that he would receive more screen ink than all but a handful of other blog rogues, I would have chosen a far better name for him. My only excuse is that I needed a name for him for his first appearance pretty quick there, and his real name shared a prominent ledger with B. Natural. That, and I thought the juxtaposition of the real man with the cinematic namesake was kind of funny. I'm sure only a couple of people got that joke, though. As much as I wrote about him, it seemed also fitting to me that he turned up in the final blog entry for the original run of the Tales from the Library blog. You can read that very one by going to library.blogspot.com. And now it's time for the LibraryCast Podcast of the Week. This week's favorite podcast is another non-current podcast episode that I recommended to a couple of people in my real life, so I'm passing on the recommendation to you. For the past couple of years, I've been enjoying Jeff Smith's wonderful comic book Razzle. You may know Jeff from his work on the comic Bone, which I also recommend. Razzle is a comic about a thief who travels into parallel universes to steal priceless works of art so he can sell them back on his own version of Earth. However, the book is about so much more than that, especially once Smith gets into the nuts and bolts of how the whole reality-jumping technology came to exist, which of course involves a guy from our history called Nikola Tesla. Nikola Tesla was kind of a fascinating character who is largely responsible for a lot of what we take for granted today as far as technology goes, including radio. So f*** you, Marconi. He was the wonder boy scientist of his day, before young upstarts like Albert Einstein came along. And then, according to legend, he died on the verge of a huge announcement regarding a technological breakthrough he'd had, and then all of his notes were vacuumed up by the U.S. government, never to be seen again. I'm personally fascinated by Tesla. Jeff Smith is fascinated by Tesla. And Kurt Anderson of the public radio program Studio 360 is also fascinated by Tesla. In fact, Studio 360 did a whole series of episodes devoted to the man. And the final one in the series actually puts to rest some of the commonly accepted, though inaccurate, details of Tesla's legend, while at the same time presenting a story regarding the truth behind the fiction that is every bit as amazing as what people have believed before. You can find those episodes on the Studio 360 website, studio360.org, by searching for Tesla there in their search form. And I've got a link to the very page with all the Tesla episodes on the website for this podcast, librarycast.com. I highly recommend both the Tesla episodes and Studio 360 as a podcast. Great, great stuff. LibraryCast.com is also a place you can find links to the original Mr. B Natural episodes adapted for today's show. If you enjoyed this week's podcast, I do encourage you to tell other people about it. I've finalized the design of the mug I'm going to give away as a prize to the person who draws the most traffic to my website. However, I need a better way of tracking that information so I'll know who to give the mug to. So, I promise our big, potentially monthly contest is still in the works. Might make for a good Christmas present. Music for the show is by Mr. Joel Hunger. Until next time, just remember, the library loves you, but only if you don't try to sneak your coffee back to the computers. Then he took Bubba back. Damn it.